This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast. It is a big weekend in the Carlow Senior Football Championship. The last round of matches are down for decision, and also the intermediate and junior grades have to be decided on as well. I have with me here the joint manager of Rathbilly, Kevin Byrne. I haven't really talked to you before, apart from this weekend. Our paths haven't crossed, and I don't understand why they haven't, but they've crossed now. And listen, I enjoyed the few minutes with you there after the match against Aero on Sunday night, was it?
Saturday night.
I've just so many matches. I don't know where they're all half the time.
Yeah, they're coming ticking fast.
Yeah, listen, what do you make of that game, the Aero game?
Tough game as normal, as usual, against Aerog. Good championship game. Could have went either way. We were delighted to get over the line. But, I mean, they had a chance at the end. Ball could have ended up in the net. And then it's a different... You're interviewing Simon Ray or someone about their two wins.
That's right,
the championship.
Yeah, we still wouldn't admit.
No, exactly. But, no, listen, we're delighted with to get two wins out too. And we're taking around nicely.
Yeah, they're kind of games that, you know, you're in and out of them. Both the Palatine, like, the Palatine game was 8 points. That was an absurd scoreline at the end when you consider how close that game was all through, really.
Listen, I think Palatine were a point up with maybe 7 or 8 minutes to go and hit the post. I think we scored from, we won possession and got the next score. And the game turned on that. We never went behind after that. And we got two late goals. But if that ball goes over the bar, then we have to go hunting for a goal with 6 minutes to go. And it changes on a moment.
And not alone that game changes in a moment, but then your whole attitude changes. You've got Aerog in the next game. Now, I'd say to you at this stage, you have kind of a bit of the number on Aerog at the moment in the last couple of years. Now, you'll remember years already where Aerog broke your hearts, but at the moment you have a number on Aerog and you seem to have the confidence that other sides don't have and you're able to beat them. But having said that, if you had lost that game against Palatine, maybe that confidence would have been rocked a small bit against Aerog. And you could have lost that game then as easily as well.
Well, for sure. So when we've seen the draw first, the four teams in our group, there's nothing between them. And we've seen that with the Palatine Loughton result. Maybe surprised a few people. It didn't surprise us.
Yeah.
Rathbilly and Aerog, down through the years, and I remember as a kid going to watch county finals, and Aerog beat Rathbilly in 4 or 5 in a row in the 90s. And they always seemed to have a hoodoo over us. But lately, I think the younger fellas don't remember that and they just go out and it's another game where maybe some of us would have carried that on with us and thought, Jesus, this here old team are as good as teams that won Leinster. But the current crop of fellas, they don't fear them. I suppose there's times we have found to get harder to get over the likes of Palatine and then Aerog. And maybe it's a confidence thing. But as I said, the first week beating Pal, and in the manner we did, I don't mean the scoreline, but when our backs were against the wall, we grind out a result and we knew that was in us. And when Aerog went 4 points up, we knew it was in us. We made change at half time and listen, we eked out another result. And that's the most pleasing thing.
And even going back to the Palatine game there, I don't know what age Liam Gavin is, but he scores 2-7. And I think between the two Murphys, they carved out the other 3 points. But that was a huge... Look, he's a marked man for the rest of the campaign now, but he still scored 4 points. I think two of them were from frees last weekend.
Yeah, listen, Liam's a good chap. And as I said, we've players in the full forward line that can rack up 2-7. It happened to be Liam on that day. We'd be happy for teams to maybe go to man-mark Liam and take their eye off other players, Brian Murphy, Brandon Kelly, loads of others. But 2-7 on your senior debut is I don't remember or heard of anyone racking up a score like that. And take the 2-7 away from Liam. The work he does off the ball is immense. And that's what would have got him on our team in the first place, was his work rate. And then when you chip him a 2-7, listen, you're doing something right.
Yeah, listen, I was talking to Paul O'Brien there about Leicester Rangers manager, and he was talking about the same. He was talking about the same sort of thing, that what you don't see off the ball is probably more. It probably reveals a lot more about the side and where you are than just the fellow who is at the end of the ball and gets the scores. Does that make sense to you? Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that video back maybe 3 times after, if not more. And you see Liam in our own half of the field. And as the game is going in real life, you don't see it. But there's Liam again. How did he get from there back up the field to get on the end of a score?
Yeah.
And I suppose the same like with Brandon Kelly, who's our other inside forward. Like, he's back in R21 winning ball, and 30 seconds later, he's at the end of a move. I mean, and this, as I said, this is what gets on your team. Your full forward line and your forwards are your first line of defence. And these fellas put in a great shift.
Yeah. Tell us this, how did you get involved with the senior management team in Radvili? Yourself and JJ, are you joint managers or are you the full manager or is he?
Yeah, no, we're joint managers. I would have made my senior debut in 2002. Myself and JJ would be in minors that won a championship at Radvili. And I would have played for 13 or 14 years. And I moved to Wexford, stopped
You're
playing. And
down in
we would have loved
Oilgate.
to
You're a
Radvili.
Garda sergeant in Oilgate, is it?
In Wexford Town now, in
In
Wexford
Wexford
Town.
Town, yeah.
And I have a brother playing on the senior team. And I would have looked at Radvili and thought, listen, they had the quality and just didn't go their way last year. I know they won a championship the year before, but we thought maybe, and I don't want to be harsh on management, but we thought that we could step in and maybe a new vice or whatever. And it's happened. Lads have taken on board. Like, we would have played with a lot of them players and we thought maybe we're too familiar. But listen, they've taken what we've said on board and implemented what we've tried. And also, we leave a lot up to them. I mean, once they step on the field, we don't be shouting what to do. We can't control them. And
Yeah.
this is where the likes of Ed Finnegan, Brian Murphy, Brendan Murphy, and these fellas come in. Like, they're dictating how we play on the field. And it helps the likes of
That's
Liam Gavin.
really interesting because if you look at, and I have to say, Tinryland have a set way they play. Now, every side in the county at this stage knows what you're going to get when you're going to play Tinryland. I would have said it at one stage that Radvili were probably the best equipped team to beat Tinryland. I'm not so sure now after Aoráke's second half performance last week, and now all Loughlin have come into the mix.
Yeah.
But certainly, yeah, you essentially say to me, you give the lads the freedom to express themselves. Is there any, and look, again, you don't want to give away anything. Is there any limitations on that? Is there any way that you talk to the lads?
Listen, I suppose first of all, we've implemented a style of play where it's all, listen, we won't drop men behind the ball, but once the ball is turned over, we have to get back. And that's whether you're the centre forward or whatever, we get back into a shape. But I suppose kick outs and styles of play, we let the players call what they want to do on the field. We have certain strategies, but we don't call them on the line. The players react to what's in front of them, and it's up to them. Because at the end of the day, like, they probably know best. They're in the heat of the battle. They know what works, whether we press or whether we drop off or whether we all attack or whatever it is. There's no point us roaring and shouting, because I know from playing, we don't hear the line. And this
Yeah.
is where we need the older fellas that have been there before, know what needs to be done, and react. And the younger fellas then, like, sort of fall in line, and it helps.
You've probably won a senior medal with Brendan, Brian Murphy, Barry John Molloy, Ed Finnegan. Is there anybody else that's currently on the starting 15?
Alan Kelly, Danny Molloy, Robbie Molloy,
Robbie,
Colin Byrne.
yeah.
Yeah, there's a good lot of them still knocking around from the last time I played.
Well, how do you manage lads? Like you're not that long in management. How do you get through to these lads? Now I know you're saying there that you let them have their style of play, but you still have to assert yourself as well. Or do
Yeah.
you?
No, you do. And listen, I suppose you have to be honest with fellas. And I've seen it myself where you're talking to guys that maybe not playing enough minutes and you're building them up, and you say, if you do X, Y, and Z in training, you'll play. And they do X, Y, and Z and you don't play them. Like, there's probably three fellas that came on against Pal for a certain style of football that didn't come on the last day. And you have to make them aware, listen, this is the reason why. And I think if they all buy into that, everyone can't start, and you're going to have your top 16 or 17 or 18 players, right? And this is where your core is going to come from. But you're going to need a panel of 27. I think we've used 23 out of 27 in the two games. And I'm sure I'm certain that there's fellas that didn't start or didn't play either of them that could start on Sunday against O'Loughlin. I think if fellas know that you're being honest, everyone's getting a fair choice, and that what they offer is what's called on when needed, that you're not using the same fellas, and, well, why are you bringing on him playing the wing back when that's not a style of football? It's just being honest, these really. The boys buy in and think that you're trying to do your best. I think that helps.
Yeah. With training, is it full physical contact or?
Oh, it is, because it's the only way. Like, if we tell lads to hold off, and there's fellas, I said, number 17, 18 on the field, and think, well, training, we're only going through the motions. No matter what I do here, But no, we let them on. All our training is game based. It's all scenario based. It's what happens, and we see then what lads are able for, what not able for. And like, there's guys going well in training, and that's why they're starting on the team.
Yeah, interesting. Listen, JJ Smith there, it's an interesting situation for him. I was talking to him yesterday and was asking, would he do the podcast? And he says, no, Kevin Byrne's the man for that.
Okay,
But
yeah.
I was asking him, like, there isn't too many father and sons, I'd say, around the country that have managed their club at
Yeah.
different stages, like John did it years ago, and it took him a couple of years to win a senior football championship. I'm sure JJ would love to emulate what his father has done in the past, manage a team to win a. It's a unique situation, really, isn't it?
It is, and in fairness, I would have played a lot of football under John. He would have won a championship with manager on a few occasions. And John would have been involved heavily underage, for JJ not so much. I think this is his first year being involved. But I mean, he knows his stuff. His trainings are very good. The players listen to him. And in fairness, he might be different to me. He'll take no prisoners. He'll tell lads exactly what he thinks of them. And it's a good thing too. There's no beating behind the bush. You know where you stand with JJ. And listen, I suppose with the history that his family have had with the Rafferty GAA and his mother being involved and brothers playing and stuff, there'd be no prouder man than JJ if we could get to a county final and get over the line
Yeah,
this year.
and there's a long way to go as well. Like, I know you're into the quarterfinal at this stage. Would you like a semi-final, or would you prefer to play a quarterfinal, or would you like to go straight to a semi-final?
Well, personally, I don't like the break. I would like to play in a quarter final. At least the focus is fellas, and you're not that week off. But we are carrying injuries, and a week made would benefit them lads greatly. But listen, come Sunday evening, we'll be in the same position as six other teams, even though we're probably the only team in the county that have won their first two games. Come next Sunday, that won't matter a lot. There'll be six teams in knockout football, whether you're in a semi final or a quarter final. And then it's not good football, and no one will care that we bet here Rogan Palatine in the first two games.
That's
So
right,
that
they're
kind
all
of matters.
forgotten about, really, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, as I said, no one expected O'Loughlin to turn over Pal. Now maybe Pal could be looking at a relegation final. No one would have thought that. Any of the other three teams in our group, with the exception of ourselves, can be in relegation come Sunday evening. And I suppose the only thing that our two wins have done is afford us that. You know, we are not in danger of missing out in a quarterfinal spot, and that's the only upside to it.
Yeah, and how will you approach Sunday? Will you be kind of, I know you won't be, but does it seep into a side, I'm going to mind myself, because the last thing I want to do is to get an injury that's going to keep me out of the rest of the campaign. It's a very tricky one for the likes of yourselves. Like, O'Loughlin and Palatine and Éireann know they have to. Do Éireann know? Could they know
Yeah,
Éireann?
no.
Yeah,
No,
they could be knocked
if
out.
results went against them, if I think if we lose to O'Loughlin and Pal bet Éireann could finish bottom of the group.
Yeah,
Éireann can
so
finish
like
bottom of the
those
group.
three teams all have to give it their all.
Everything, yeah.
You don't, and is that a difficult for you?
Don't think so. And I go back, and I know it's a cliche to say we've 27 players. We will be given fellas that haven't played a game. We are carrying knocks, and whether we'll see how they go on Wednesday night in training. Maybe we rest a few for a knockout football. But lads, the start will have to they have to perform. Well, because it won't matter to us if they have played two games and they have a bad game against O'Loughlin. They could find themselves out of contention for a quarter final spot. I mean, we have shown we haven't been afraid to make subs. We took by three in the half time the other day, and the same early on in the Pal game. If lads are not performing, and just because it might be a dead rubber to us, their attitude and the performance will what'll dictate what starts them in the quarterfinal or semi-final. And
Yeah.
plus, we want to win the game because
Yeah.
momentum is a serious thing.
Yeah, you want to win the game, you want the 6 points, but you want a quarter final as well, but you can't have
Exactly.
both, can
No,
you?
it cannot go always. No, exactly.
Yeah, so you'll take, as Paul said here last week, Paul Broderick, he was saying, I'll take the semi-final spot, grab it. If you told me I was going to take it now, I'd take it.
Yeah.
And look, that's the position you're in. Yeah.
I'm not so sure, but listen, we're through. That's the main thing. To win a championship, you have to beat everyone. If we got a quarter final against one of the other three teams, you're going to have to beat them. As I said, we won't be hiding from anyone, no matter what happens.
At the risk of upsetting some teams, what teams do you think are the biggest dangers to you? And there's always somebody in the long grass as well, isn't there, when I ask that question?
Listen, I suppose you're over the team to beat. The bookies had him favoured at the start of the year. We seen the other day, the ball fell in the square. He could have stuck in the net. And I said, they have 2 wins and we're struggling. You're over always going to be team in Carlow to beat. You have Tyrone Ireland have a certain way of playing. And when it clicks, it clicks. And they got to the county final last year and they were unlucky. They missed a free late
Very,
on.
very unlucky at times. Palatine just got some goals at the right time, and
Exactly.
they—I won't say they built on it, but they held on to what they had and won.
Yeah, and then I suppose that bit of cuteness from Pal, they've been there before, a lot of them players and know what it takes to win. But I suppose, and I don't want to sound going back, we used to play O'Loughlin on Sunday. O'Loughlin maybe were written off by a lot of people when they seen our group.
Have to put my hand up there.
We seen the first half against Erog before we played, and I was impressed with them. It wasn't a surprise that the Erog we won by a goal. They beat Pal comprehensively on the week at the weekend. I know Pal got close to them, but the longer it went on, the more the O'Loughlin were getting stronger. So listen, O'Loughlin have players there, Seamus Kinsella and these that have won county championships, Barry Hayes, they know what to do as well. So listen, it's a wide open championship. We have seen that. We have seen it. When the county champions are in danger of getting to relegation, you know that the championship is serious.
It's huge, yeah. Anybody on the far side of you has hit, you were saying you've seen one or two games. Is there anything that has impressed you on the other group?
Yeah, I suppose once the hurling is finished, more or less the Rangers are always a danger in the senior championship. And I would have believed down through the years, if they had no hurling down there, they would have racked up a couple of seniors. They're big physical men that can play football.
Yeah.
And it probably suits them now that the hurling is finished. For the moment, I know they've a Leinster championship to look forward to. But again, they're a match for anyone physically, and they have some wonderful footballers.
Yeah, they have to get it right on the day. There's been days where they've been very good, and then there's days when they haven't performed. They just have to be a bit more consistent in foot. They have to be as consistent in football as they are in the hurling, really. You know,
Yeah.
and if they do that, as you said, there'll be a test for anybody.
Oh, I agree. Like I said, going back to when I would have played them, you would have been always hoping for Molesta Rangers in the semi final. And we got them a couple of times because the following week, the county hurling final would have been. And when things weren't going the way, they would have started withdrawing their stronger players the night on the following Sunday. That doesn't happen anymore. And now they're a danger and a threat to anyone. We've seen that.
Yeah, just something there. You talk about subs and lads coming in and panel members. I often look at subs coming off the pitch. Pat O'Flynn, for instance, last week, he would have just shook the hand of the sub who was coming off. He was near. I've seen other managers as well, and they'd blank the sub. They wouldn't even look at him, turn his back on him. And I'm
Yeah.
sort of thinking to myself, Jenny, that's not great, you know. And I think what Paddy does is right. What's your attitude to that?
Oh, listen, any sub that's coming off, we would inform them why. I mean, there's no one going out to have a bad day, and it has happened where it just hasn't clicked for fellas on the day. But I mean, you have to tell them that. You just can't. You blank these fellas, their confidence drops. But again, it goes back to honesty. We're not taking you off because we want it. You started because you're good enough. Things just don't go your way. And our guys know that we have 10 fellas that are sitting in the stand that are as good as them. And they know too. We all want to win. Like, I go back to Regan Murphy last week. This is his first year playing senior football in goal. We just thought we wanted something extra in the second half, and Robbie's experience done that. But we will speak to Regan and we will say he's the future of Raphaelagh goalkeeping. And the last thing we want to do is him, his head to drop or think that, oh, well, here's my chance. It is just what we needed for that moment in time.
Yeah,
And
that's funny enough. You should pick that one up because it was discussed at half time in the press box, and we came to the conclusion that possibly Robbie would find his man a bit better in the second half.
listen, we brought Brendan out in the second half and then Robbie had him to aim for where Regan hadn't. So that's, I suppose,
Okay. That's right. See, there's things that we
yeah.
don't always see ourselves. Yeah.
People would say Robbie had a great second half. Like Regan's short kickers were excellent. Maybe lack of movement, and it's not Regan's fault in the first half. But when you have Brendan Murphy standing out midfield and Robbie kicked the ball out to him, I'm sure Regan could have done the same. But it's just the way it panned out. Listen, if we had lost the game, we might have taken a lot of stick for wasting a sub on our goalkeeper. But there are things we had to do, and it worked out for us. But you have to think Robbie had a great asset in the second half with Brendan Murphy out there because he had a phenomenal second half, as good as I've seen Brendan play in 5 years.
Yeah, having said that, the 3 points he got before halftime, I thought there were three. From an Aero point of view, I thought there were soft points to give away, and I felt a change in momentum of the game. And you went off and got 2 points early in the second half, and then you were dictating matters where Aero could be dictating the game possibly in the middle section of the first half.
I agree massively. At 8-4 down with 3 minutes to go at half time, I was afeard that the game could get away from us. We went in 4 points down, and then if Aero have a decent start second half, listen, you're 6 or 7 points down to Aero. We got three, we'll say softish. We got a couple of frees. I know they took a mark and he kicked it short, and we got a free from that. And like them things change momentum. Going in a point down at half time, we were happy. Well, I was happy because we didn't play it as I thought in the first half. To go
I'd
point down.
suggest you were almost ecstatic.
Listen, 4 points down to a point down in the way we played, we were not happy, and it showed in the changes. We had four changes made by the start of the second half. We just weren't happy where things were going, but to get that boost, and then it allowed us to say at half time, we haven't played. We're a point down. We need to take this opportunity. We've been given a lifeline here, and we kicked on, and Aero being Aero came back to level it up, and then listen, it was a ding dong battle then for the last 30 minutes of the game and going anyway.
Yeah, listen, just changing the topic completely, maybe just from a football point of view yourself, you would have known that Marion Hayden, the Aero, former Aero player, Aero referee, she was making history, first female to referee an Aero Championship game. I tell you this, she got some baptism of fire. 2 minutes in and she has to produce a red card. Like she couldn't, and then to have to give it to James Foley, one of her fellow referees, it was just bizarre.
Yeah, they could have picked an easier game than a local derby between Kilbride and Kildavin. We commented on it. Is there a closer derby in Carlow? Maybe Grange and Tullow, maybe between Kildavin and Kilbride, and to throw her in there. But listen, if she wasn't good enough, she wouldn't be there. And she handled it like what I said. We seen the first half of it, watching before her own game. I mean, listen, I'm sure it won't be long before Marion Hayden is refereeing senior games, and I don't see why she's not at the moment.
Yeah, and she had to send off another player as well, and they were both apparently correct decisions. The feedback, look, all this goes to CCC, so maybe we shouldn't say much about it. But having said that, she got the full backing of everybody around the ground for her decision making.
Yeah, we missed the first couple of minutes, so I didn't see the first one. The second one, as I said, won't comment too much on it, but it didn't seem to be a whole lot wrong with to me, as in I think she got her decision spot on. And I mean, I've heard no one giving out about her performance. And as I said, if you're good enough, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. If she's good enough to referee, she should referee three matches. I
Yeah,
can't see a reason
absolutely.
why.
Let's just go back a bit on yourself there before we go. Look, you're based in County Wexford now. You won a senior yesterday. Your debut was 2004. Do you were saying what?
2002, I won the first one, and I would have won my last one in 2014. I won four of them then.
Four senior football championships.
Four seniors were that filly, yeah.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah. Any of
I
them
said,
stand out?
yeah, I suppose 2014 and 2002, I was just gone 18. As I said, JJ was on the team with us, and we won another one in 2004, very close after. And I thought I'd have 10 by the time I would give up. Come 2014, we'd been beaten in a couple of finals that we probably should have won. I was 30 at that stage in 2014, and it was a
Yeah.
bit, it was extra special because I had given 10 or 12 years. And I see the hard work where the other ones came very easy. You think you're going to pick them up every day of the week, and that doesn't happen. And that's something we'll be telling our own fellas. There's a lot of lads, Darragh Kern and younger fellas, that this could be their third year playing senior, and there's been two county finals, won one and lost one. They don't come around every year. So when things are going right, you need to capitalize on them.
Yeah, like you would have thought Aero going to dominate for years. Then you went and burst their bubble, and your bubble was burst last year.
Yeah,
You know, you're
and listen,
100%
and
right in what you say.
yeah. No, they're not easy one.
All right. Listen, don't have much to say there. Have you anything else that you want
No,
to?
I think we've covered it all, and hopefully I'm
Yeah.
talking to you again some stage after winning a third game or a fourth game.
Yeah, generally you go to the winners. The likes of myself go to the side that wins, really. You want to give the side that loses a bit of privacy. Maybe sometimes I've rarely got a losing manager or player that actually wants to talk. You know, it's short and sweet. And look, hopefully we'll be talking
Hopefully, if
more
we're talking to you
more.
again, it means that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. Listen, Kevin, thanks a
Brilliant.
million.
Thank
Thanks
you. Thanks a
for
million.
talking
Talk
to
to you
me today,
again.
Kevin. Thanks.
Bye
Bye
bye.
bye.